Hey y'all, this is Mendez on the Run. How you guys doing? I hope you liked the last week episode about Melina Martinez. I actually liked that episode, and I recommend y'all listen to my other episodes, Harvey Weinstein, Woody Allen, Matt Lauser, Ryan Secret, James Franco, and of course Melina Martinez, Woody Allen. I recommend y'all listen to James Franco. I believe that's like one of my favorite episodes I ever done. As well, researching him about the situation that he was in. I was very interested about that. And I hope you like that episode as well. But I also want to talk about this. I saw this on Twitter this morning. It was trending on Twitter earlier in the morning around 10:30. Now it's like stop being trending on Twitter. Ruby Rose was trending on Twitter. She used to play Batwoman, and she gave the reason why she get a little, I don't know why. Okay, I searched why she quit Batwoman. I didn't even know she quit Batwoman. Is because let me look it again because I actually forgot. Well, basically, is because she's allergic to latex for the costume was made. But then she... And then she came out of the reason why. And more reasons why she quit that film. I didn't know she quit at all. Maybe she... It wasn't a really big thing because she was allergic to latex. But this, and I was going to talk about a different topic, but this is like a little bit more important. If you guys are trying to go into the industry of acting, probably singing as well. But let's get started with what she said on Twitter. I mean, on Instagram. She posts these screenshots. People reposted on Twitter of her screenshots, but she posted it on Instagram. If you want to see it, it's Ruby Rose. And she has 17.5 million followers. So probably even people who even don't follow her probably looked at it. I don't even follow her. Okay, this is her first post, and I'm going to read... slowly, because she used a different font. It's like a little bit more cursive, so I can't read fucking cursive. Okay, that's what she said. Dear CW, and then she names these people as Caroline, Sarah, and Gabe. I'm not sure. Enough. I'm gonna tell the whole world what really happened on that set. And that's our first screenshot. Next. I'll come for you. So what happened to me never happens to another person again. And so I can finally take my life back and the truth. Shame on you. Next. Peter Roth. You're the first up. You're the chapter one. Not sure if you left after getting promoted to the highest position because you just couldn't stop making young women steam your pants and around your crotch while you were still wearing said pants, or if you left after putting a private investigation on me. Oh wait, that could be penis. I don't know, I can't fucking read this. Anyway, on me, who you fired as soon as the report didn't fit your narrative. Either way, when it comes to you, there's already an army waiting for you. And then... She talks about her... In this video, you can hear her doctor talks about her, like... I don't know, it's like her spine that she got hurt. Let me pull like a small clip. Okay, and she said, cut to 3 weeks later after this video, it was then abnormal. This was diagnosed years ago on the set, but if I get an x-ray, we wouldn't make our day. So I've documented this for years. On top of that, I have enough documentary to make a 1-hour documentary and pray tell what else would you like me to show. The broken neck on the broken ribs split in two in the tumor. That's wild. All right. Okay. This is my first one. I haven't read this one. To everyone who said I was too sick from Batwoman, imagine going back to work 10 days after this. 10 days. On the whole crew and cast would be fired and I would let everyone down. Peter Ross said he wouldn't recast and I just lost studio millions by getting injured on his set. And that is, be the one who cast so many people their jobs. Instead of spending half a day to rewrite me out for a few weeks to heal. So basically, Peter Roth wouldn't let Ruby Rose to rest because like she got hurt and then made her go back to work 10 days later. So in closing, please to my dear, dear fans, stop asking me if I will return to the awful show. I wouldn't return for any amount of money, nor if a gun were to my head. Nor did I quit. I did not quit. They ruined Kate Kane, and they destroyed Batwoman, not me. I follow orders, and if I wanted to stay, I was going to have signed my rights away. Any threats, any bullying tactics, or blackmail will not make me stand down. A crew member got a third degree burn all over his body. We were given no therapy after witnessing his skin fall off his face. But I was the only one who sent flowers and cards, and then we were told to have sex scene without a minute to process. We lost two stunt doubles. I got cut in the face so close to my eye in the stunt I could have been blind. A woman had less quadriplegic, and they tried to blame it on her being on her phone so much. So CW didn't help her to start with because they needed to investigation. So she had to do a GoFundMe. She's a PA. They work on via phones. Her accident occurred because our show refused to shut down when everyone else did because of COVID. Caroline Dries has no heart and want us to finish the season through the pandemic. I told her it was a bad idea. I told her everyone was too distracted, constantly checking COVID updates, checking on friends, and seeing Riverdale, The Flash, Supergirl shut down already. I felt something bad would happen, and Caroline Dries maybe visit the 4 sets in a year. Unheard of. But in those 4 or 5 visits, she decided she could tell me she knew my injury would happen on set, so I should comply with a PI. Yet later denied it, tiredly, and said it happened during yoga, lol. I don't do yoga. Now someone will never walk again. We shut down the next day, not because she almost killed someone, but the government pulled it. Also, I fought people on set. Yes, not because I wanted to, but because I wanted safety. Ask anyone hair and makeup what I did. What was it? Lost my place. And hair and makeup what I did for them. After two were hospitalized and the other people came out and spoke was Doug, who talked about unprofessionally. Called my agent after my exit to find a way to leave, to which she replied, "Break your neck, I guess." Yet, slam me in the press. I never raised my voice on set, never have. Doug heard a female stunt double. He yelled like a little bitch at a woman and was a nightmare. He left and he wanted a ride when he wanted. He abused women and turns as the lead of his show. I sent an email out asking for no yelling policy. They declined. I was late one time because I was in the hospital. Whoever does these stupid leaks, I'm finding out who it is. Cam, who after I left the hospital and said, "Yeah, well, maybe if people were not late, we would make our days." A kid, a egonamic kid who worked one day a week and had the audacity or a stunt department who were furious, even though I never blamed them. But I went on following, spoke of my injury, and didn't play the game. Aside from them, I was loved and loved my crew. Oh, and they wouldn't even drive me to work, and they knew I couldn't legally drive after surgery. So they said, "Get a taxi." I just want to say one last thing, because no doubt I won't get another chance, nor do I want to keep talking about it, because it is so deeply hard to. It's time for me to take my life back and finally breathe again after all these years. Also, this has gratefully been handed over to the appropriate people now. I do not choose now to come out and speak, because any of the number of reasons people will have wanted to guess. It's such more complicated than that, nor is because work has dried up. I have declined more films in this year than in my whole career. If you look just under the surface, you will see every film I've done announced and unannounced are the same small trusted group of people. Because I have been too terrified to work with anyone else ever again after that experience. Liongate, Sony, BuzzFeed, thank you. And the producers of Doorman, thank you. Just briefly why I excluded with work with the same company of individuals. If as a stunt team of BW, keep telling people was where I secretly got injured and faked it later. The injury was recorded on set of Batwoman file as a workplace injury the same day, months prior to the doorman. And I listen, maybe a part of the timing was being attached to WB, Meg, the past 3 years, and having developed Jax from scratch with Joan, a character, and IP franchise. I love so much. Having fans constantly ask when we start shooting, as constantly posted picture of Jax, only to be told I was cut a month ago. Hence, why I was growing my hair out for Jax and then chopped it. With no explanation, people forget. Meg was the number one film in the world when I joined Batwoman. I was not a full career. I speak now because I understand my privilege, but I'm not Scarlet. Scar Joe. I do not have Scarlet type money and power or influence, and sadly, I also didn't have a privilege, but I am not Scar Joe. I do not have Scarlet type of money or influence, and sadly, I didn't have a team like her, who cared enough not to be afraid. I also guess I don't have the super power strength she must have to do what she did. I am someone who always followed and tried to do the right thing, and she inspired me. So, did the cast of Jagged Little Pill on Broadway, who chose to live their truth. If I don't say anything, then what am I really saying? This isn't just for me. This could possibly end my acting career, but already ended when I could no longer open a strict up without a panic attack. I also had to look at all people responsible who contributed to this, myself included. Why I didn't stand up for myself? Why didn't I sue? Why I didn't get a lawyer? Why I didn't fight? I was tired. I might look tough, play tough characters, but I am very human and very sensitive and do not like conflict. I was also afraid and deeply afraid. I do and say this now because this isn't crazy. Out of this world freak incident, nor is even half of it. I'm speaking up because I-T-C-E, I don't know what's that. In the previous mention, people remind me that nothing would change if nothing changed. And people out there are even more scared than I am. I have less resources than I and need to know they're not alone. Our industry needs a lot of work and needs to change dramatically, and people deserve to be less afraid. Maybe, just maybe, aside from healing, it might take a small change for someone else. Thank you for the support, but I am out of the woods right now. Oh, I'm in the woods right now. Literally, not figuratively. And I will not be on my phone. Please also do not try to leave. I don't know what this is. I can't even pronounce this word. It's J-A-V-I-C-I-A. And other people I didn't name out of this. She deserves better, and some of the people I've been are getting attacked are my allies, not enemies. Just because some people can't be public about their support doesn't mean it's not there. Damn. That's pretty shocking. I'm glad that she spoke. Oh, the one I couldn't pronounce her name. She is the new Batman. So. She was like one of the stunts. Now she is Batwoman. That is, if you want to see for yourself, you can just go to her Instagram, or probably go to Twitter. They'll have screenshots. Just go to Ruby Rose, and then you see the screenshots. Yeah, that's pretty wild when I read those screenshots. So again, follow her if you want to know more about it. Maybe I could do one of like those similar topics, how these actresses or actors got mishandled on the set. But anyway, but let's get started to this episode about Drake Bell. This is gonna be like a short bio about him and shit like that. Okay. When I was researching about Drake, his first name isn't Drake, it's Jared. So Jared Drake Bell was born on June 27, 1986, in Newport Beach, California. He has three siblings, Kelly Bell, Joey Bell, and Travis Bell, and Robert Bell. His parents are Robin Dawson. She is a former professional pool player, and Joe Bell, well, I can't really find information about his like job or career, but I think he helps navigate his entertainment, like maybe probably like a manager, I guess. I'm not sure. Probably not his manager, but like helping him in the industry, film or music industry, I think. His parents separated when he was 9 years old. His first appearance are Home Improvement in 1994 when he was 5 years old. These are the popular shows. These are the only two like really popular shows that he was in. Of course, Drake and Josh and Amanda Show. And those are the TV shows I never seen. I was more like a Disney kid. But I did watch like two TV shows from Nickelodeon, iCarly and Victorious. That's only TV shows. So I really didn't know anything about them, about like Josh Peck and Drake Bell, like at all. Like I only saw them like on like memes on Instagram and shit like that. So I didn't know them at all. I thought he was like, you know, still acting or like a social influencer or a YouTuber or shit like that. So basically, he's not in acting in the film industry anymore. He's more in the music industry. This is what he said about not wanting to be in the film industry. He just like doesn't like it.
And I found an article. So that's like one of the questions he was asked. It seems like music always been part of you. But how did it make the official jump from acting into music? That's what he said. In the past year and a half, I really just been like, well, if I'm going to really get to where I want to be, whether it's television or music, I'm going to have to go 100% into one or another. I think it's just a lot more fun making music. I love being on the road, being able to control what I create. You know, it's not just sitting on set, waiting to be called, or sitting in a trailer auditioning. If I shoot a movie for 8 months and I wait 9 months to see it, then it makes another 2 months to come out. It's a long process. I've been doing that for so many years. I also been making records for so long, and every time I want to get away from TV studio, I've been a record studio making a record and then going on tour. For me, going back to TV was like, oh man, school starting back up. Being on the road and play music, there's nothing that compares to that. Mm-hmm. He likes more in the music industry. No wonder why he was basically. Anyway. And I found an article why he, you know, trashed, like, heading into the music industry. There's so many, like, speculation. So, this is the article that I found. The biggest question from fans is why the rebrand. There are a few different probable scenarios. Some believe it is because his music career never grew up in the U.S., so Drake turned to Mexico. There he found a greater popularity and success as a singer. Another speculation ties to abuse accusation. Drake alleged verbal and physical abuse his ex-girlfriend Melissa Langfelt. She opened up how she endured abuse from Drake. Happened their relationship, which ended 10 years ago, and many on Twitter speculate that Drake rebranding is a way for him to hide the accusation, something he fled to Mexico and started fresh with a new name and music career. And that's why he didn't like physically change his last name. He still has Bell, but like in Spanish, fuck, how do you say Campan? Campane, something like that. So he is married. He is engaged to Janet Vaughn. She's an American actress, producer, and manager, and model. She was born on July 1, 1994 in Orlando, Florida, United States. She started her career as an actress. She is 25 or 27, but I believe she's 25 years old. And I think Drake is, let me search that shit up. I don't know how old he is. He is 35. Oh shit. Little age gap. But he tweeted on June 29th that he is married. Basically happy and have a son. Now let's talk about his former girlfriend, Melissa, and that he is being accused, okay? Let me say it again, accused. I don't want to get sued, but he is accused. And this is what she said on TikTok. I was trying to find a video, but I believe that she deleted the video. So let me play what she said. And I also found this from another video from a person, like, keeping it.
I'd like to start out with saying that I don't really care if anyone believes me, as this is my story and my life and something that I went through. It wasn't until recently that I actually realized that abuse isn't something that all women have to go through. When I started dating Drake, I was 16. I was homeschooled. I moved in with him. I was singing. It wasn't until about a year when the verbal abuse started. And when I say verbal abuse, imagine the worst type of verbal abuse you could ever imagine. And that was what I got. It then turned into physical, hitting, throwing, everything. At the pinnacle of it, he drug me down the stairs of our house in Los Feliz. My face hit every step on the way down. I have photos of this. I don't even want to get into the underage girls thing. First, I would like to say,
that's pretty much it. I don't know if that was full videos or just another like part one, part two, and shit like that. So I'm trying to go to her. She posted these on her. She posted this on her TikTok on the 8th. Fuck. Probably June and July on 2020. And she posted this on her TikTok, like a screenshot of a message that's to Tina's sister. This is what she said. Click the first one. Drake's wife, best friend, tried to message me to discredit my story by saying he changed and it was a long time ago. I feel bad for his wife that just a few months ago he was DMing me and trying to flirt. And this is what her, like, Tina's sister said. I'm so proud of you. He has a wife. I also feel bad for her. I remember you telling me about everything you mentioned in those videos. I remember the pics. I remember the physical fights. I remember him throwing you in the bathtubs, scalding you with water. I remember him breaking all your antiques. I also remember calling the cops on him, having to stay at Molly's house until shit fizzled over. I'm proud of you coming out with your story. Oh, so who lets a 16-year-old with a 20-year-old alone in the fucking house? I know my mother would not fucking let me be in the fucking house living with him. You're fucking 16. This is like another victim. Of one of Drake Bell, but she posted this in her TikTok as well. And this victim is blurred, so there's no name. And this is what she said, her experience with him. I met Drake in early 2007 when I was 16. He was dating you at the time. Didn't stop him from fucking my 15-year-old friend with a virgin. I believe you. I'm sorry for what you endured and what my friend endured, because that was statutory rape. And fucking everyone who's discounting your story, we know the truth. I'm guessing a lot of women out there know the truth. So he was basically 20-year-old. He just fucking was younger, young girls. Okay, this is another one. Hi there. Thank you for speaking about Drake Bell. I can personally confirm he has sex with a friend of mine who was 15 years old and when he was 20. I sent this message 2 years ago. I remember you speaking to my friend on the phone after it happened, and you told her to he choked you and spit in your face. And this was in 2006. And this is what she said. I did it from August 26th to February 2009. This is the girl he cheated on me with. He cheated on me with and took her virginity, right? So he's basically a fuck boy. This is another one. Hey, Melissa. I was Drake's girlfriend for 5 years after you. I'll stand by your story and back you up as I went through the same horrific. Fuck, I can't pronounce this word. She was basically horrified of. No. She went to like terrible verbal abuse, physical and mental abuse. Another one. I know this is to be true from personal experience. We went to high school together and dated from 2001 around 2005 or 6, from the age of 16 to about 21. Thank you for speaking out. I wish I had more receipts and some photos. Unfortunately, no voicemails or text receipts because we broke up. He broke every phone I had and then. Like you, I have many friends and witnesses to attest what he put me through. I had several of them sent me your TikToks and the article, people out and put them. Please don't hesitate to reach out if you want to talk about any of this. Again, I'm so grateful that you're coming forward with it and with this information. He's a narcissist, sociopath. I know there are more of us out there. And this is another one, but this one, this victim tweeted at her. This is what she said. So Drake Bell DM'd me when I was 14, asking for nudes from my friend and I. He was 25 at the time. Obvious, I never sent any photos, but I gave him my number so we could FaceTime naked. It never happened. He deleted every single message after he sent, so I had the notifications. He knew how old I was. He was still fucking pursued. I thought it was the coolest, funniest thing at the time, and I entertained the conversation because I loved the attention. I thought it was strange, but didn't seem how absolutely disgusted that behavior was at the time. It was so fucking easy to be taken advantage of as a teenage girl. There's so many ways industry designed to make us hate ourselves and question our worth and leading us to believe our only value being sexualized and abused. It's so fucking normalized. Let me turn it on. And that's pretty much it from the victims, what she posted, Melissa, I like to say. I bet there's many more victims. I'm going on her Instagram. I wonder if she posted. I didn't even look at her. I didn't even thought about looking at her TikTok. No, I don't. She hasn't posted anything. Let me look on Twitter. All right. So let's get into the fucking juicy one. This is more like people know about this. Not a lot of people know about Melissa. I barely knew about the situation at all. So Drake Bell was just sentenced of 2 years probation and 200 hours of community service in his child endangerment case. In the incident, the alleged incident reportedly took place on December 1st, 2017, when he was scheduled to perform at the club in Cleveland. The victim have alleged that Drake groomed her from the age of 12, that he sexual assaulted her at the age 15. He is not charged with sexual abuse. His lawyer denies he's engaged in such a manner. This is what Drake said. Just like I know TikTok, I know the video of him of being in a Zoom meeting with his vi of the victim and him in the court, like talking about it. It went around on TikTok. I remember that, but I was like not really interested about that shit. But now I am. Because I also watched a video of her telling her side of it. I feel like y'all should watch the video as after probably finish this episode and then go to look up on YouTube. Like Drake Bell, go on YouTube and go in the search bar and put Drake Bell, victim or something like that. It's like watch the video is like 35 minutes. You can just click on 4 minutes and 10 seconds. That's where the victim speaks. And that's what Jake said. I accept this plea because my conduct was wrong. I'm sorry that the victim was harmed anyway, but obvious not my intention. I've taken this matter very, very seriously. And again, I just want to apologize to her and anyone who else I've been affected by my actions. And this is what sh the victim, this is her full statement from the victim. It's kind of lengthy. I choose to write the statement because I want justice to be served more than anything. The only time the defendant had appeared in court in person was on June 3rd for the arraignment, which before the media found out about this case. He has appeared on court today over Zoom instead of appearing in person. Oh my God, this doesn't surprise me and shows what a coward he is, but I'm not a coward. And that is why I'm going to reveal all the details of the crime that he committed against me. Aside from Cleveland, the only time that the defendant sexually assaulted me was in October of 2017. It happened in Illinois in the middle of the night. He penetrated me in the back seat of my aunt's car while she was driving to my friend's house. The Illinois police only agreed to move forward with the case if the Ohio police do not pursue this case. I don't understand, regardless of the reason why he has gone away with the sexual assault in me in Illinois. So today I'll be discussing the details of the crime he has pleaded guilty to end the impact that had on me. But before I do that, I'd like to provide you some context on the relationship with the defendant and what led up these crimes. This portion of the statement explains how he started grooming when I was 12 years old. I started off as a fan of him. I was definitely one of his biggest fans. Everyone who knew me as a child knew that he was a hero to me. I would have done anything for him. When I was 11, I learned that my aunt had a mutual friend who knew the defendant and led to my aunt taking me to meet him for the first time in 2014 when I was 12. I adored him. He was instantly made me feel that he adored me right back. From the time I was 12 to 15, my aunt took me to meet him, spend time with him many times. After I met him the first time, he started speaking to me more frequently online and confiding him about personal things about myself, including my struggle with my mental health. I went to him for advice and for someone to lean on. He gave me that. I felt protected, loved by him. When I was 13, I went to him for boy advice. He told me that I was beautiful and that boys were stupid. He then sent me a photo of myself and he had screen capped it from my Instagram and told me that I was, quote, such a cutie. I took and unloaded that photo online a year earlier when I was 12 years old. He saved that photo of me onto his phone. I didn't realize how disturbing that was for many years. And later, another instance of a creepy behavior happened when I was spending time with him at the age of 14. He told me that he couldn't believe how much I'd grown since he last saw me. He said that I wasn't little anymore. And I was, quote, a woman now. When I was 15, I noticed a huge shift regarding his treatment attitude towards me. When I was younger, he was sweet and actually wanted to talk to me about life. But at 15, he started sending me messages about how, quote, hot I was in the summer of 2017. I messaged him and telling him that I was going to see him in the concert in the following month. He replied by telling me that he couldn't wait to see me, and he also asked me, quote, how old are you now? I told him 15. Then he told me to, quote, hurry up, don't smile at me. Not too long after that, he messaged me to me basically bluntly sexual. This eventually led to many months of inappropriate messages and photos being exchanged over Instagram and Snapchat. The photo exchange includes photos of my body, photos of his body and his genitals. In the beginning, I was excited. I thought he really liked me and I felt that I meant something to him, but that didn't last. Back then, the last thing I wanted was to lose him. Not only because I was completely infatuated, I was completely in love with him, but because I became scared of him. There were times where I felt really uncomfortable talking to him, such graphic sexual ways, and wanted to be left alone. But I had a hard time telling him that because I was terrified of upsetting him. So I make excuses, and when I did, quote, upset him, he made me cry. If I didn't give him what he wanted, he was spiteful. He made me feel guilty. He made me feel disgusting, absolutely awful about myself. At one point, it was clear he had me wrap around his finger. This caused a tremendous amount of stress and shame and crime that he committed against me in Cleveland. I wanted to make something very clear. The reason that these particular incidents did not result any further than oral sex was because the defendant knew I was menstruating at the time. Had I not been menstruating, then he would have raped me. Because he will tell me how badly he wanted to pinch me, basically fuck her. On December 1st, 2017, my aunt took me to Odin Concert Club to watch him perform. That night, defendant took me backstage to be alone with him. He started kissing me. And then the night ended him having me perform oral sex on him twice. The next innocent had talked to me about seeing me one last time before we all left Cleveland and went home. So he went to his hotel to say goodbye in the hotel room. He started kissing me, had me perform oral sex on him again. My aunt was right outside the hall waiting in the hallway while this was happening. She trusted him, never thought that he would ever do that to hurt me. Now I like to bring up the visual who known about this crime for years. This person is a defendant partner, Janet Vaughn. January of 2018, I was engaging in appropriate conversation with who I thought was a defendant until I received a message back from the defendant counting, claiming to be Janet. That was the first interaction I ever had with her. This confused and decimated me. And I begging the defendant for an explanation about the exchange with her. He brushed it off by repeating, claiming that everything was fine. After these crimes happened, I tried to shake it off all the gross feelings that I had. Ignoring those feelings only made them worse. I felt so miserable, broken, humiliated. I was struggling to sleep every night. The sexual message continued for a while after until I eventually put a stop to them. I did that by confronting him about what he had done to me. I confronted him in September of 2018, just weeks before I reported the Illinois and Ohio crimes to my local police. I choose to confront him about what he had done to me because I wanted to gain my power back. I had to stuck up all of the fear that I felt under. I felt ordered to confront him. He ignored me for many days at first, and eventually he tried to apologize to me for, quote, breaking my heart, but deleted those messages quickly after. His crimes are not heartbreaking or whatever other loose terms he used. They are disgusting. He didn't care then. He doesn't care now. This makes me feel worthless. I confronted Janet as well. When I confronted her, she claimed that she didn't know anything about these crimes. She denied speaking with me in January of 2018 and claimed that I wasn't her. She told me that none of this was my fault and apologized to me. She also told me that she wanted to, quote, jump in front of the car. However, at one point, she asked me to let her know when I was going to the police with this case for her own benefit. Of course, I did not. She knows that what happened and she doesn't care. Janet is just one of the few people who just tried to protect him, and the others will know exactly who they are. The pain that the defendant had caused me is indescribable. Worse than every day, being used by somebody who meant the world to me has left me feeling more hurt than I've ever been before. I'm 19. My life hasn't been the same since I was 15. I think about the crimes every single day. I feel at the constant dark place. Sometimes I wish I could disappear so I can forget what happened right after I reported him. My parents sent me to therapists. So far, they spent $7,620 in hopes that she can help me move forward from this. These crimes have especially impacted my relationship with my aunt. For a while, I could not fathom how my aunt had no idea what was going on. That made me doubt the trust that I had in her. To this day, there's tension and awkwardness between her and myself every time I speak to her and look at her. I think about the defendant and what he did to me. My relationship with my aunt will never be the same, and that breaks my heart. My whole family's hurting because I'm hurting. Their trust and my aunt has been affected too. My aunt blames herself for leaving me alone with the defendant, and then my parents blame themselves for placing our trust in my aunt to protect me and keep me safe. It was awful to hear them say that. Every night I dread going to sleep because I don't want to see him in my nightmares. I've lost many nights of sleep because of this. I lost count over how many times I fell in class when I was in high school due to many sleepless nights. I had to leave school early due to having panic attacks that were triggered by these incidents during these panic attacks. I was struggling to breathe, sweat, shake, cry, and often faint. When I do sleep, including inducing in my nightmares, throws me off my entire day. I'm sorry. These crimes have affected my dating life as well. Every day I have since gone has ended with me home crying. Every time I feel the slightest bit more vulnerable around a guy, all I can think is see the defendant. I have serious trust issues because of him. Dating as a teenager should be a fun experience. It should not be something that brings up trauma caused by a grown man. Defendant crimes against me are the worst thing that he could ever done to me. He was such a part of my childhood, and the return he ruined my life. Back then, I confronted him, and he told me that he didn't want me to hate him. I don't hate him. I would like to ask you something important. Whenever a person has a lot of influence, some or none at all, these crimes that are unforgivable and excusable, they can never be taken back. He was calculating. He preyed on me, sexual abuse. He's a monster and a danger to children. I'm kindly asking to send a powerful message that these crimes are never okay, no matter who a person is. Also, I want to bring up the letter that I wrote to you. My letter explained why the defendant is not remorseful for his crimes. I describe how publicly found humor in them and how he used tactics to gain sympathy from the public. He could easily ignore people online who were mocking this case. Instead, he went on his way to let them know that he thinks it's funny. He can give me that look all he wants. He knows exactly what I'm talking about. These crimes I committed against me are some kind of sick joke to him. My suffering is not for him to laugh or his leverage to brag about being a good man now that he's a father. So today, if the defendant tries to tell you that he's remorseful, I'm asking you to appreciate that his actions speak louder than words. Since his arrangement plea hearing, his action have been louder and clear. That been show he simply does not care and does not have any ounce of remorse. I won't be surprised if he tries to manipulate everybody into believing that he changed, but he can't fool me. If he is truly sorry for anything, he is sorry that he's finally been caught. I can assure of you of that. He committed these crimes against me with pride. A defendant who clearly feels no remorse for his crimes deserves to be given more maximum sentence possible. I will never forget what he did to me. I idolized and look up to him. And he took that and broke it in the most sickening way possible. I deserve better to be used for his sick desires, for my suffering to be used for his amusement. Jerry Drake Bell is a pedophile, and that's his legacy. Thank you, Your Honor. That is, I am, you know, my take on her statement is very powerful as a 19-year-old. As well, 19-year-old, I feel like I'll be a little bit more scared, like calling out, like the person who did that to me. I can't find the fucking word. But I'm very. She inspires someone to. He has countless victims. I don't know what to say. Her words are very powerful, very moving. The experience that she had with her idol was very horrible. There's a quote of saying like, never meet your idol because like they're bad in person, shit like that. But sorry for my reading. It's very. I stutter a lot. I can't pronounce some fucking words. But if you want to go in depth or listen of the audio, just look up, go on YouTube and go on Drake Bell. I recommend y'all go and listen her voice. She is very powerful. Also, like to show a video of him. This on his Instagram. So I gotta pull up my phone. Okay. This is what, like, his take of the case.
A lot of the news that you've been hearing, well, most of the news that you've heard recently is entirely false and wrong. And I feel that you deserve, and I owe you an explanation. I didn't change my name. Although I love and would love to, I've never moved to Mexico. I've never been a resident or a citizen of Mexico. I don't have a Mexican passport. I didn't get arrested. I didn't go to jail. I know that this has moved very quickly for you, but for me, it's been a 3-year thorough investigation into every false claim that has been made. And it's not me telling you that the claims are false, but the state of Ohio has proven the claims to be false. If these claims were remotely true, my situation would be very different. I would not be here at home with my wife and my son. But that being said, I'm not perfect, and I made mistakes. I responded to a fan whose age I didn't know. Yet when I became aware of their age, all conversation and communication stopped. This individual continued to come to shows and pay for meet and greets, and all while I was unaware that this was the same person I was communicating with online. And that's what I pled guilty to. You know, it was reckless and irresponsible text messages. I want to make clear that there were no sexual images, nothing physical between me and this individual. I was not charged with anything physical. I was not charged with disseminating of photographs or images or anything like that. This is strictly over text messages. And when I was presented with a plea deal, because of the messages, I felt that it was the best way to get this over quickly and for everybody involved to be able to move on and for me to get back to doing what I love. And that's making music for you. And I want to thank you for, to everyone who saw through the lies and did their research and looked at my case and saw for what it was instead of through all of this media confusion. Don't believe the media right off the bat. You know, it's a lot of clickbait. Do your own research and come to your own conclusions. And I just want to say thank you to all of you. I want to for sticking by me, and I love you, and I will see you soon.
I don't know about that, Drake. Okay. I believe the victim statement. I believe in her instead of him. That's my take. Also, Josh has said, of course he heard about the news, and that's what he said. It's upsetting and the unfortunate situation, and is disappointing. I don't know if they talk or shit like that. So nothing new about him is going on. He's still posting on Instagram, still tweeting, shit like that. So I did read the comments under the video. A lot of people are supporting him. Spanish speakers and English speakers are supporting him. So y'all can take a look in his Instagram. I don't recommend y'all following him, but do whatever y'all want. And like, you want, if you want to see the video for yourself, but go look at it. But I remember I disliked him because he always posts shit about Justin Bieber online. It was like back then around 2012, 2014. So I hated him for that because he hated Justin Bieber. Because I used to love Justin Bieber. Used to, not anymore that much. And that is pretty much it. If you want to read the statement for yourself, I will put a link into it. Link it below. Also, listen to my other episodes, please. And give me a rating. That will help me out. And help me out. Other listeners want to listen to this type of podcast. Alright, y'all. I'll see you guys soon. Alright.